This morning, in our Sunday school class, we were looking at the question of what happens to people that have not had an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, what happens to them when they die. And we explored scripture and looked at that. And if you have that same question, you can come to me and we'll talk it through and look at scripture. But you know, we were looking at it, realized as we were worshiping just a moment ago, we were looking at it from all these technical aspects of what the scriptures have to say about who's going to be in heaven and who isn't and so on and so forth. And that's a good thing to look at. But as we were just worshiping, I realized we hadn't addressed the real question. You see, today we're going to be talking about the church going out. And you see, it's not about who goes to heaven. It's about hurting people. And this world is full of hurting people. Many hurting people right here listening to me right now. You know, and it's the wrong question to answer to get into this technical dialogue about who's going to be in heaven and who isn't going to be in heaven and what does Scripture have to say about that. While that's important, the reason God said to us to go and make disciples is because He understands that they're hurting people. Do we know that, church? Just look around the sanctuary. Look to your right. Look to your left. Look around your neighborhood and your job place, at your schools. There's hurting people. And that's why we must share Christ. Because Christ came to give us abundant life. Not just when we die someday, that's something we have to look forward to in the future. No, today. He came to give us abundant life today. He came to make the broken whole. And we were singing, God just really was speaking in my heart as we were singing this last song. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. You know, there's hurting people that the church must reach with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing at the lake of Gennesaret, and this is also, by the way, this is also the Sea of Galilee, saying this is an ancient term for that same body of water. With the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Wouldn't you like Wiley Methodist Church to just sink? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. Let's pray. Spirit, I would ask you to come, but I know that you are already here. But I pray, God, that you will send your Spirit with power. You would come on us and stir us. You would speak with power and authority and transform our hearts, God. Make us like you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Got an email from a pastor in our conference this past week. The subject of the email is irrelevant, but I want to read to you a couple of paragraphs that were in his email because I really got my attention. I really feel like it touches on where we are going today with this sermon. Recently, a good Christian friend of mine got severely burned. Thanksgiving afternoon, he was getting sleepy. He propped his feet on the fireplace hearth, dozed off, and awoke to the smell of burning flesh. His feet were on fire. He was rushed to the hospital with second and third degree burns. Up to the incident, he didn't realize he was diabetic, though he had noticed an increased numbness in his feet. Now he is enduring a long ordeal of skin grafts that severely limit his activity. My friend doesn't like others fussing over him, so when I showed concern, he said, "The good thing is I can't feel a thing." Something similar has happened to the church, he says. We have lost the feeling in our evangelistic feet. In the past, our forefathers keenly felt the needs of others around them. So they prayed, gathered up their courage, and breached that invisible wall that stands between us and our neighbors. They introduced themselves, established relationships, and met some needs toward the goal of bringing outsiders into God's family. Somewhere along this journey, strangely and subtly, we lost that feeling. No longer does the alarm go off in our hearts that somebody nearby needs us. We have contracted chronic Great Commission dispassion. We still remember that Jesus said, "Go." Trouble is, we no longer feel the need to do it. In our collective subconscious mind, we've got it all worked out that when Jesus said, "Go," he didn't mean us. He really meant stay. As a result, we're having trouble walking. Sunday mornings, our sanctuaries are closer to empty than full. Somehow, we must get back our lost sense of pain at the needy who are all around us, the feeling in our feet. Is he telling the truth or is he telling the truth? We begin a new sermon series today called Dine with Christ. And I'm going to, some of this is going to be trying to educate and explain some things going on in the leadership and the transformation of leadership, the way we're trying to do things within the church. I'm going to try to explain that better, but also hope to inspire us to understand what this means to be a dying church. Now, the dying model that we've adopted as a church, this dying model, and it's also, by the way, our conference. This comes through our conference. This dying model is an acronym, each standing for a different component of our church. The D that we will look at today is for deploy, that we are to be a deploying church. And the I is for invite, that we are to be an inviting church. N for nurture, that we're to be a nurturing church, and E is equip, that we're to be an equipping church. Now, I want us to start with this word deploy. Now, so easily, I hesitate anytime you begin to look at mission statements and acronyms and those kinds of things, it can easily become just this administrative mumbo jumbo. Anybody relating to that but me? I can remember back in my business days when I was in the business world, and we would have, you know, the company would have mission statements and this and that, and you develop them, write them down, might hang them on a plaque on the wall, and that was that. But I want us to understand that these are real important characteristics of our church and who we need to be as a church. They're not just something that we're developing because we don't have anything else to do. that word deploy. I looked at that a little closer this week, and I started just kind of analyzing that word, deploy. Just what is the dictionary? And there's all sorts of different ways that you can look at that, and different definitions that you can run across. But the one that struck me the most that seems to fit for our purposes is to move into position for a deliberate purpose. Now, many of you, I know many of you are in the military in our church, and either you or a loved one has been deployed, and seems to me that fits. That seems to be tied together. To move into position for a deliberate purpose. You don't deploy the military and spend, you know, millions of dollars and probably more to send equipment to other places and personnel and with a plan and all this strategy and all. You don't do that unless you have a deliberate purpose. You don't do it just because, hey, this would be cool. You know, let's send 50,000 people over here and all this equipment and all this expense. We don't really know what we want to do. We have no idea, but there's a deliberate purpose in this deployment. The passage that we're looking at today, Jesus is trying to teach us. They speak of this this lake, which is we know by the Sea of Galilee. Now, go ahead and give us that first shot. As you know, many of us, how many of you went to the Holy Land trip with us last February? Raise your hand. Bunch of you here. Almost everybody. Awesome. I was hoping a bunch of y'all would be here today. Kind of memories like the shadow. No, I won't do that. But this is looking out Cheryl and I's hotel window, and we were in Tiberias when we spent the first few nights in Tiberias, and this is looking out our window on the Sea of Galilee. Awesome. That was probably my favorite time of the trip, was just being right there in this region where Jesus did so much of his ministry, and where he walked on that water, folks. He walked on that water. And what struck me about that, you can go ahead and flip to the next one there, Lee. Another shot as we were out on the boat. We took a boat trip one day, and we had an awesome experience. Actually had a little service, a little devotional out on the boat as we sat on the water. But what struck me was, this is not, you know, your Sea of Galilee, you think about a sea, but really it's a lake. It more properly translated would have been Lake of Galilee. They also was known as the Sea of Tiberias, but it was a lake. It may not have been any bigger than Fort Phantom. I don't know. It just wasn't that big of a lake. And it really struck me. Go ahead and go to the next one. This is a great shot. I think that, what is that, a geese or what is that, a goose? What is it? It's a bird. I think that bird was there when Jesus was there, I'm pretty sure. He's been flying, looking for a place to land for 2,000 years. This is us on the boat, our crew. And go ahead and go to the next one there, Lee. This is our guide. Now, Nader was his name, and he was Arabic. He was Arabic, but he was a Christian. He was a Christian Arab, and he was quite an interesting fellow. Go ahead, and he had these little things that, okay, let's go. And then go to the next one. Chop, chop, shake a leg. Anybody that went, you remember that? Okay, let's go. Chop, chop, shake a leg. Don't forget, coffee in, coffee out. Now, you can imagine what coffee in, coffee out referred to. Everyone bid coffee in, coffee out. That's what he would make sure before we left, that we had been coffee in, coffee out. With heavy emphasis on the coffee out, usually. But this was a shot of just one of the banks there at the Sea of Galilee, and can you picture Jesus teaching on that hillside right there? We went in a time of year I have to tell this. I'll make it quick, but we have to tell this story of my wife. She knows what I'm going to do, but she loves nature. She loves nature, and I'm more of kind of a history guy, you know. So Nodder, as we go, Cheryl and I being, we were what's known as the bus captain, so we're right up, Captain Dan, right? Right, okay. And anyway, so we're up at the front of the bus, and he's turned, and he's facing the group, and he's teaching as we drive from one place to the next. Over here, you know, we've got this and that. And, man, I'm glued on everything he's saying. And Cheryl keeps nudging. She goes, oh, look at that. That's so pretty over there. Look at all those trees. Look how green that is over there. I'm like, yeah, that's really pretty. And then I'd go back over here, and like, you know, we'd go like 10 seconds, you know, say, oh, look at that. That's macadamia nuts right over there. That's some holy grove of macadamia nuts. And she just, the whole time, she's pointing out all of these beautiful crops, and I'm trying to listen to the, but I love you anyway, sweetie. I love you anyway. We had a great time, but my reason for showing this, I want you to understand that these are not just stories. It's so amazing when you go over in that country, you realize the Bible comes to life. If you ever have an opportunity to go, go, because you get to see that these are real places. This is a real body of water. These are real cities. These are real walls that have been standing. These stones, these cobblestones on this walkway, Jesus walked on these. Right, Alan? We got a picture of us on those cobblestones. But they're real places. This is a real story. Jesus that day, I want us to just kind of work our way through this. That's what he's trying to teach us. The first thing that I think God is trying to teach us through this passage is that fishing in our own strength can be unproductive and exhausting. Anybody ever done that? You know, Peter, when Jesus said, push out to deeper water, lay down your nets. Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We're exhausted and we've caught nada. And have you ever done that? Do you do that? I know your preacher does. Your preacher fishes in his own strength. It's a constant battle to get back centered on doing things in the Spirit. The second thing that I believe that Jesus is wanting to tell us is that fishing with Him produces results. You know, when you try to do it alone, when you try to do it in your own strength, it's unproductive and exhausting. You fish with me, and you better have a big boat. Master, we've worked hard all night, Simon said, and haven't caught anything, but because you said so, Lord, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Did you know that? I was reading that and I was thinking, you know, it's not a Wiley Methodist thing. We're not competing against Wiley Baptist. Did you know that? We're not competing against Beltway or Zion Lutheran. We're not competing with them. So if someone comes to me and says, you know, Pastor, I love you. I love our church. But we had a couple of families when the Journey started. I told you this back then, 3 or 4 years ago, when the Journey, the new Methodist church started. And had I told you, I don't know if you were here and remember, but I said, if you feel led to be a startup seed family for that church, go with my blessing. Because it's not a Wiley Methodist thing, church. See, they caught, there were so many fish when they're fishing with Jesus. There were so many fish. They said, pull this other boat over here. We got so many, it's going to sink both of us. And if there had been a third boat, pull up the third boat. Latch them on. There's lots of fish. There's lots of hurting people. The third thing that Jesus is trying to teach us as we become a deploying church is that Christ is calling us to fish in deeper water. I believe that to be true for every single one of us, from the least spiritual among us to the most spiritual among us, the most mature Christian and the newest Christian. Christ is calling us as a church, and as his people to fish in deeper water. You know, it took some doing. Christ, they were along the shore. They were through fishing. They had exhausted themselves. And Jesus said, no, put out to deeper water. Let your nets down right here. What kind of deeper water is Christ calling you to? I want to challenge you. People, I'm getting a bad reputation because when people come and share a really cool thing that God is doing, I say, well, you want to share that next week? So I know some of you are going, I ain't talking to him. I've been noticing a few of you walking by me doing this, but Risha's not here this morning, I don't think. Contrary to what Risha Sanders said last week, I don't force anybody. She was teasing me about that, but I will not force you to share. But I encourage you to see where God is calling you to go. What deeper water is he calling you to? And I encourage you and invite you to come and tell me. You know, Pastor, I've been resisting this for a long time, but I really think that God wants me to lead a Sunday school group. I really think God wants me to work with the children, and I've been resisting it. I really think that I'd like to lead the prayer some Sunday morning. Scares me to death to speak in front of people, but I know God is tugging at my heart to tell this story. You know, what is your deeper water that Christ is calling you to? Because Christ didn't just die so that we would get a ticket to heaven. He died so that people that are broken would be made whole through him. And what a privilege, church, that he's given us the privilege to be a part of that. You know, I think about this all the time, and Cheryl and I, many times we cry together about this, the faithfulness that God has shown to us as a couple and as a family, and y'all are that faithfulness. Just the joy it is to be given just this wonderful opportunity to be a part of this fellowship. And to be a part of things that God is doing. You know, when we, Cheryl and I do, we meet with married couples that maybe need a helping hand through some tough times. And I don't see that as a burden. Oh my gosh, here we go again. Got to talk, you know, with some more people. I see that as a privilege to be an instrument on behalf of the King, to let down my nets in deep water. And fish with him. What a privilege that is, church. And I don't think we take it seriously enough. Fourth thing I think Christ is trying to teach us is that when we respond to Christ, that we respond through faith and self-surrender. Faith and self-surrender. Now, if you notice Simon, as he was fishing, that they had already exhausted themselves doing things that, you know, by themselves, and they had already kind of brought their boats in and was ready to put them up for the day. And Christ said, no, let's go back out. And you know, everything in him wanted to say, you've got to be kidding me. I am completely exhausted. There are no fish to be caught today. You know that's what he wanted to say. But instead he said, because you say so, I will do it. There's this act of faith and self-surrender. And when he saw who Christ, you know, it's amazing. Christ revealed himself through a bunch of fish. Did you know that? I mean, through a bunch of insignificant fish. One more miracle that he worked, and he showed us who he is by a catch of fish. And when Peter saw who Jesus was, he fell at his knees. There's this act of humility and self-surrender. And it revealed to him who he was, that he was this broken, flawed man before a holy God. And he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. And Jesus said to him, I love this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He noticed he didn't say, no, you're not, Peter. That's what I would have done. No, you're not a sinful man. You're really a good person. And, you know, he didn't say that because he knew Peter was a sinful man. But he said, don't be afraid. You know, from now on, you're going to be fishing for men. And Peter's response was he left everything and followed him. So my question, church, we have been called by Christ to deeper water. And we have been called to deploy ourselves. To deploy ourselves. You know, the church isn't in here. You've heard me say that before. The church isn't in here. We come here as a group of disciples and as this body to worship and to fellowship and to study. And we'll get into that as we get into the equipping piece of our ministry. But we come in here to catch our breath, to energize ourselves for what? To go out. To go out. So, we've been called by Christ to deeper water. We've been called to deploy ourselves on His behalf. My question is, how are we doing? How are we doing as a church? When people in our community hear about Wiley Methodist Church, what do they hear? I mean, maybe it's great things. I hope it is. I'm not saying it's bad things. But we need to ask ourselves that question. Well, people, if you're visiting with us this morning, what do you think? How are we doing? Do we seem to be concerned about you? And more personally, how are you doing? How am I doing? You know, we can look, it's easy to look corporately at us, but how are we each individual doing? I want you, if you would, I want you to see, part of this is to try to educate us. If you would look on your insert on the back side, I did it a little differently today, and I will for the next 3 weeks. I mailed out of the office. We mailed all of these completed sheets, and as I said, they will be evolving as we add ministries, as we add leadership, and as we change different things. But I left all of it off today except for the deploy, and this component of our church, this harvesting of the crop. And it's amazing. I just added this line this week because as I looked at this, as I began to really study on this dying model, I began, do you remember the sermon series I preached back in October called Go? If you didn't catch that series, I encourage you to either get on our website and try to listen to those. There was four sermons in that series. Or our rack out here has some CDs and DVDs. Or you can check with the church office about that. But I encourage you to do that, not again because, you know, I'm Billy Graham or anything like that and you need to get my autograph, but because the message, I believe, is what God would have us to hear at this moment. And it's amazing how, I didn't do this on purpose, I wish I could say that I did, but how that message, that series on Go, how it perfectly aligns with where we're going in this dying model. And I added this line here, go and bear fruit, this deployment. I preached a sermon in that October Go series on going and bearing fruit and how God has called us to be fruitful. And so I added that line there. But there's this sending out of disciples to engage the culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the leadership team that's helping to coordinate that, if you're here, I want Jody and Janet and Jane, would y'all just stand for just a second? I just want people to see you. I'm not going to ask you to recite, you know, the Declaration of Independence or anything. So, all right, ladies, y'all stand for just a second. Jane and Janet. Okay, thank you. And Jody is like Billy Krim and I. For now, he is part of the leadership on each of these quadrants. But Jane and Janet, if God has put something on your heart that has to do with sending out of our church, I ask you to seek out these two ladies and say, you know, God has really been prompting my heart to be involved in this. Whether we do it now or whether we don't, if God's prompting your heart, don't ignore that. Many of these ministries that are on here, that's how it started. someone. I'll just tell you the Love and Care Ministry team that Robert and Crystal Harris, are y'all here? Just real quickly, you can just stand or wave your hand back there. And Clayton and Gabby Harner, I think I saw y'all. Okay, right here. Those guys, we have been financially supporting Love and Care Ministry and doing some different things with them, which is our local homeless and poor ministry. We've been supporting them financially for some time, for years. But just in the last few months, we have started with people plugging into that ministry. And these four have felt a tug on their heart to be a part of that. But see, what I was telling them when we started, it's like, I'm not looking for them to be the only ones doing the ministry. I'd like to see 30, 40 of us involved in that ministry or more that are involved in doing that. Same thing, I want to just kind of run down here. Dennis, where's Dennis? Dennis Riley back in the sound booth. I think they woke him up to just kidding, Dennis. Dennis is back in the sound booth. Dennis is heading up, which we just did in November, and this was his first year to head that up, our turkey distribution in Carver. Many of you have been a part of that, walking in that neighborhood and passing out turkeys. Awesome, awesome way to feel the love of Christ. So if you want to be involved with that, let Dennis know. Pat, where's Pat? Pat Cumby back in the back here, is involved with our food pantry and Methodist Food Pantry and Methodist Service Center. They on Tuesday nights they pass out food over at the food pantry, and we've got what, 15 maybe involved, 10, 15, more than that, 20 or so, 20 plus. But it's, man, I tell you, there's nothing like being in a place and seeing people come up there hungry, and you're boxing up food and carrying it out to their car for them. What a great way to see, just to recognize the blessings in your life. That's going on. Orville and Jean Ely back here. Raise your hand, Orville and Jean. Jimmy, is Jimmy here this morning? They have been involved in our jail ministry for a long time. They go over there. Y'all go over there several times a week or at least weekly and reach out to those folks. If you're interested in being a part of that, see Orville and Jean. Gerald, where's Gerald? Gerald Young, we're starting a brand. We have really focused a tremendous amount on local missions. We're not going to stop that, but we have sensed that maybe God is also wanting to expand our mission outreach to include outside of Abilene. Gerald is heading up a task force to help us get that started. He's got tremendous experience in doing all of that. Who did I miss? Pat with the Salvation Army, we do the Angel Tree and other types of outreach with the Salvation Army, another great deal. The thing is, guess what, down below the mission task force there, the last deal, guess what, I don't know how many I left there. There's a few blank lines in there. Quite a few blank lines. What's God tugging to your heart? What is He saying to your heart? Is He calling you to fish in deeper water? Are we a deploying church? Are you a deploying Christian? Or do you just have, I don't have one, but you just have your ticket? You just have your ticket? A lot of Christians just have, they just carry their ticket. That's it. Christ is calling us to fish in deep water. He's calling us to fish. You know, He'll settle for a cane pole off the bank for a while. He's just calling us to fish. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the privilege of being Your children, the privilege of serving in Your power. Father, I pray that You would inspire and convict our hearts today. Father, don't let us kid ourselves and think that we're okay. Father, convict us. Push us to deeper water. Father, we're humbled in Your presence. We fall as Peter did that day at the lake. We fall at Your knees and we say, we are sinful. But you have made us holy and righteous through the cross, through the blood of your Son Jesus. So, Father, show us what that means. Show us how to respond. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. As we close, if you would stand as we close today, I just want to invite you, if you want to come forward and visit with me about accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, or joining our church, or anything else, would like for me to pray for you, or anything like that, please come forward. Jesus. If he says to go to deeper water, go to deeper water. Put down your nets and tell someone the hope you have in Christ. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Your people, remember your children.